This morning, the scripture reading will be from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through the end of the chapter. Proverbs 23, 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things, and you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another dream.
Good morning, everyone. You know, there are a lot of passages in the New Testament and the book of Proverbs as well that deal with drinking. And I know the last lesson I gave up here a month ago had to do with, kings and the judgment that they have and the reasons why they shouldn't drink wine or strong drink because it would pervert their judgment. And so I thought I would look at some other passages in Proverbs and then go to a passage in the New Testament that kind of deals with, along the same subject matter. But there was a passage last week that I had forgotten to mention in Romans 14, and we'll get to that too. But it's interesting here that there's examples of what kind of trouble that a person can get into here in the 23rd, in Proverbs 23. And I think if you look at that, you know, he sort of asks, you know, the questions here in verse 29, and then he talks about, you know, who those people are. And then it's interesting, he looks here and he says, "Look thou upon wine when it is red, and it gives color to the cup when it moves itself aright. And it bites like a serpent, and it stings like an adder." But then he says, "Behold, your eyes shall see strange things." Or in the King James Version, it says, "strange women," and your heart shall utter perverse things. You know, sometimes when people drink, you know, even if some people here believe it's okay to drink casually, sometimes, you know, you don't know how far to go. There's a lot of controversy right now. In the secular world outside, I noticed on the news there's a lot of people that have got pulled over because they drink casually, but they don't really know how much they've drank. And like some, you know, the alcohol limit is like 0.08. That's you know, where you're legally drunk. And some people are like 0.085, you know, and they get OVIs and they get in big trouble. And so, you know, sometimes it's dangerous, and the lust. You know, we talked about how when people that drink, they get to that state. Some of them can handle more than others, but then they get into a state where they get their higher cognitive ability is fleeting. You know, and they sort of go back into a caveman mentality, a simple mind, and they can't discern judgment properly, and then they start to look at places where they shouldn't look, and lust takes over. And they utter perverse things, and it kind of tells you sort of what's on their heart. And they have no restraint. They have no ability to think about what they're getting ready to say and study to answer and see how it's going to affect other people. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, it teaches about how the wise studieth to answer. He just doesn't just speak, you know, without thinking about what he's talking about. In verse 34, it talks about, "And you shall see one who lies down in the midst of the sea or lies on the top of a mast." It reminds me of being on a ship, and every once in a while I'd look up and I'd see these guys up there on the mast putting the flags up. And then I thought, wow, you know, people can get caught in some of the strangest places. You see people outside, like I was sort of a babysitter on the ship because I was like the dock or the corpsman on the ship, and guys would come in inebriated, And sometimes I'd have to go to these strange places to find these people on the ship. And they couldn't even walk, you know, and you had to help them back. And it's a very dangerous thing to engage in drinking. And they started out as being casual. Everybody, you know, knew that it was wrong to, you know, drink and get drunk. But somehow they found themselves in these situations. You know, one time a guy, he would bring me his car all the time. And he was one of these guys that he never really got drunk, but he was always around people that would drink, and he was in the wrong places all the time. And he would always bring me his car, and the back windshield would be busted out. Or he'd have a huge dent in his door, you know, or he'd have a big crack in his windshield. It was the most craziest thing I've ever seen. And I'd say, I know you've been at the wrong places again. You know, sort of like birds of a feather, they stick together, you know. And I said, man, you need to get away from that lifestyle. You know, you need to, you know, be around responsible people. And, you know, sometimes, verse 35, that's a very interesting verse, too. He says, they have stricken me, and you say, I am not sick, and they have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. And again, you know, there's those people that showed up at medical that were half beat to death or had gotten in a fight because, you know, well, they know that, you know, if they were drunk, it goes back to not being able to discern judgment or to make good judgments. And they would say and do things and get them in trouble. And then they would come back and I would be looking at someone's arm. And I remember one guy came in one time and it looked like his arm was practically broken, and he had a bunch of blood coming out of his arm. And he says, there's some blood on my arm. I'm like, you can't even feel that, can you? He says, no, I can't feel it, Doc. And I was like, well, you know, you shouldn't get so drunk and you won't fall down and break yourself or break a bone or hurt yourself. And that's what it's talking about. And then what's interesting is that then they go right back out and do the same thing again. And you got to wonder to yourself, why do people do that? You know, what is it on their heart that would cause them to do that? Well, one thing is that people drink to forget their misery. And in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So Proverbs 20, verse 1, a lot of people don't understand that here wine is personified as itself, doing what they make men do. That wine, it's personifying the wine or the strong drink as itself, and what it causes men to do. And so you get to that person that drinks to forget his misery. When he wakes up, nothing has changed. And it reminds him of his error. The wine reminds him. He reminds himself, but it's actually the wine that caused it. And he realizes that, you know, that is the problem. So it has a tendency to come back and remind people of, hey, I shouldn't do this. You know, you can't remember anything about the problem till it's time to pay the piper. You know, that strong drink, people that engage in strong drink, they can't even really remember why they started drinking sometimes. I remember some people on the ship say, I don't even remember what happened. And I was like, well, I said, you ever read Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verses 19 through 21? So let's go to that. Proverbs 23, 19 through 21. Look what it says. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So here he's talking about winebibbers. He's talking about being around people like that, and how they'll eventually come to poverty. You wake up and you figure out that, hey, you know, I got a lot of bills, and I got to go to work, and I just can't handle the stress. And they go out and they get drunk and they wake up and guess what? You guys still got to go to work. And you still got a lot of stress and you still got to pay your bills on time. Well, there are those that will say, and like I remember talking to a lot of people about this, and they would say, well, Jesus drank wine. And I would say, what, do you think he was a sinner? Do you think that he was a wine bibber? So let's go over there and take a look at, you know, we just read in Proverbs 23, verse 20, that Solomon was making reference to those wine bibbers, people that would actually get drunk on the wine. If you take a look, there is an interesting passage, and this is where I'm going to go to the New Testament, kind of get away from Proverbs, and I apologize, but kind of keep in mind what we've been talking about. But in Proverbs, the 11th chapter, in verse 19, let's take a look at that real quick. Because, now when I talk about this, I want you all to know that you got to keep an open mind here. I teach the full counsel of God, and I want you to understand what I'm trying to say here and what the Scriptures are teaching. So look at Matthew 11th chapter. And let's take a look at this. let's go back to what Jesus was talking about. First of all, one of the things that Jesus was doing here is that he was talking to the multitudes. And he wasn't, you know, I'm sure there was scribes and Pharisees there, but he was basically talking to the common people. But what had happened was is he had went back to talk to some of these people because he had done mighty works before them, and they hadn't repented of their sins. In fact, later on we're going to talk about the type of people that they were, but he talks to them about their attitude and about the how and the reasons why they have a tendency to cast judgment. He says here, he says, verse 17 of Matthew 11, he says, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. He says, we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. And he was, again, talking to those people that we had just discussed. They had not repented. He says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a devil. But listen now. He says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified over children. And he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And then that's when he starts talking about, he directly tells them that, you know, if Sodom and Gomorrah would have heard and seen the things that you have, they would have repented. So it kind of gives you the kind of the attitude of these type of people. And but the point is here is that there are going to be those people how it seems that Jesus is explaining how people sometimes will shield themselves from seeing the truth about other people. He reveals who they are. Verse 25, he then later reveals that they are the wise and the prudent. And of course, he's talking about the wise and the prudent of the world. And he seems to maintain as that they of the world will render judgments that are false about people. And if you look again at verses 16 and 17, it seems that those people seem to be wise in their own conceit. It seems that their ears were closed and they had reached the wrong judgments about John the Baptist. That they had accused him of being a devil when in fact he didn't drink wine, he didn't do anything like that. But then Jesus says, I came eating and drinking and you say that I'm a wine bibber. That was wrong as well. Because even though he did drink wine, he never got drunk. That would be sinful, according to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Drunkenness is a work of the flesh. And we should never get drunk. Drunkenness is an absolute. We cannot do that. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it said. So we could have then accused Jesus of, if he did get drunk by drinking wine, of being sinful or being a sinner. But it's interesting here, though, that my point is that what is it in people, and we go back to what I originally talked about as to why people start drinking and why people start casting judgment and the type of attitudes that they have on life, is that why would these type of people even accuse someone like Jesus or John the Baptist of being the type of people that they thought they were? And I think it's clear. Certain people seem to reach conclusions to satisfy or rationalize their own behaviors. You know, they may in fact drink all the time, or they may not, you know, pay any attention at all to the way other people live. Now, there's some people that may even be like that in the church. They see people for the way they want to see them. You know, they don't really know you that well. You know, they see you for the way they want to see you. But, we know that John the Baptist was the type of person that lived in a cave. You know, he ate locusts and wild honey. And he was a man of God. In fact, Jesus went on to say that he was one of the greatest men that ever walked the earth. And he didn't have suits, and he didn't have, you know, all these great things that we seem to associate with people that have sound mind. But yet, he preached the will of God, and he did what was right. And he never went to college either. You know, but he did what was right. And, you know, look what we say about Jesus. You know, Jesus chastises those who make such judgments. And, you know, I'm not saying that it was wrong for Jesus to drink wine as far as getting drunk. But one of the things for sure that we do know that he did drink wine in this passage. He did. And again, there are those people that are going to cast judgment regardless. And I think that's what he's saying. But then on the other side, there are some people that can become weak when they see other people drink wine. And we know that in Romans the 14th chapter, there are those that see it as being sinful, or see it as being something that we should never do, and they violate their conscience when they do that, or they believe that it's wrong. You know, some people look at Romans 14 as just being meat sacrificed to idols, but if you pay close attention there to verse 21 through 23, you'll notice that there are other things that we should not engage in and violate other people's conscience, or violate our conscience. You know, happy is he that condemneth not which he alloweth, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, whatever we allow and we do in our life, and our conscience is not violated, then happy are we. Romans, the 14th chapter, I'll just go over there and read that real quick, because many people miss this when they're studying their Bible. You know, I'm kind of a nuts and bolts type person, so I'm going to look at all the details. But let's take a look at Romans 14, verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of the God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God, all things indeed are pure. But it is evil for a man who eats with offense." See, they're talking about eating with meats, but using meats as a sort of a means of, almost a literal means of explaining what he's talking about. "But you eat with offense. It is neither good to eat flesh." Now listen now, verse 21. "It is neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine." See that? "Nor anything whereby thy brother is offended or is made weak." And so we know that you look at these type of people and you go back and you look at Matthew 11, and they're actually two different kinds of people though. In Matthew 11, those people did not accept the gospel at all. Those people were the wise and prudent people of the world. Their mind and their attitude was completely different than the ones that the Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans. He's talking about perhaps the Roman church, the Christians, those maybe the Gentiles or the Jews that had never drank wine, or the Jews that thought that it was wrong to eat certain kinds of meat sacrificed to idols. But whatever the case and whatever the people, these people were converted. These people had a different mindset. They really wanted to do what was right, but yet their conscience was violated. And the point is that should we then engage around those type people and violate their conscience or cause them to be made weak and cause them to stumble. Those are completely, it's a completely different situation. So, and I think that's what a lot of people misunderstand about those passages. It's two different people that's involved. Well, I got about 2 minutes, and that's really all that I have. But just kind of think about those things, and you know, don't go out there and engage in drinking and offend someone. I personally don't drink at all. I don't want to develop a taste for something that could someday be my undoing. You know, just don't want to engage in that sort of thing. And Romans the 14th chapter is very clear. We can offend other people. And there are some people I know, I've talked to people when I was in certain churches that I would visit, one denominational church when I was younger, I went in and I talked to him about this issue. And he says, why don't you people do this and with the instrumental music and do that? And I says, well, I said, because people's conscience would be violated. And he says, well, maybe they need their conscience violated. And I thought that was a very bad attitude. That was bad. We need to be careful about what we do when we're around Christians. And so that's really all that I have. And then right now we'll have our closing prayer and we'll be dismissed to our class.